Okay, Girly Nation, expect more and pay less at Target. Come on. Who doesn't shop at Target? What you gonna do when you get out of here? Let's keep it 100 this summer. The sun is shining, the birds are chirping, and the flowers are blooming. This coming week, Target has put some of their favorite warm weather items on sale. You can get women's dresses, digital cameras, outdoor living, patio furniture, accessories, grills, and lighting. You can link to this week's deals from my new website at ninababel.com/podcast, and you're going to look for episode number 19. And this is going to give you the links to this week's store discounts. Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Keep It 100 Girls Show, coming to you live and direct from the nation's capital, right here in D.C. I'm your hostess with the Keep It 100 Girl Mostess. It's Nina Babel. And as always, you know how I do. I keep it 100. You know I keep it real and I keep it true. But this is where women tell the truth. Nothing but the truth. Even if it's totally embarrassing or super gray-gray. I am unapologetically myself, and I talk to you like I talk to my own girlfriends. This is the no prude zone. Think of how you talk to your girlfriends, especially over din-din and drinks. But here's the dealio. I share what women are thinking but not saying out loud, because you know how it is. Most of you are shy, nervy, and embarrassed to ask. Our stories are cray-cray. We're edgy. And, you know, some of you might consider us a little taboo. But one rule of my podcast is we overshare. Girly Nation, are you ready to keep it 100?
Ready to keep it 100, girl.
Oh, Nina, I keep it 100, baby.
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
My hand is raised. How about yours? Last week's episode is packed with a range of no prude zone topics. Starting with the stigmas often associated with self-pleasure, also known as masturbation. Women reveal their own personal embarrassment, and in other cases, roadblocks that they personally overcame when it comes to the whole masturbation thing. Then we talked about vibrators, sex toys, and how they played a role in their self-discovery. Then that begs the question, is it a replacement for men? If you want a buzz better than a cocktail, then you need to learn the unapologetic truth from women who are sexually comfortable with themselves. Amen, sister. Okay, we're changing up the format a little bit this week. This episode is going to be a two-part series. But in today's episode, we are passing the positivity. And Girly Nation is going to ring your biological alarm. You will hear directly from women in their 30s and 40s discuss their own personal definition of the biological clock versus their real-life personal experiences. Before I even bring up or talk or address the whole pregnancy discussion on my podcast, we need to start from ground zero, which means the whole biological clock concept, because it's a thing. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. Word. So what makes my discussion different than all of the other biological clock stuff is that I'm injecting in your brain good stuff. Stuff you're going to remember, stuff that's going to stick, and stuff you should know way in advance. Because no one tells you this either. You have to go through it to understand it. And the women on this episode, they've been through it. Both Bianca and Onika shared what they learned from their girlfriends. But we're going to be hearing more about their stories later on.
I learned from my girlfriends that there are only 3 or 4 days in a month that a woman could ever, you know, get pregnant. So it's key not to have sex during those key 4 days of the month.
Before you got married, you know that?
Mm-hmm. I was like, damn, for real? Didn't pay attention to it, though, but I did remember hearing that in the stories. Didn't become relevant until I got married, and of course I wanted that. I'm like, damn.
This kind of stops you from hiding behind all those truths that you told your best girlfriend, and now you share them with the rest of us. We owe it to each other instead of waiting until it's too late. Most women are aware of it, but don't comprehend all the risks when they are younger. That's where I come in.
The light bulb for me didn't go on until I got that information. My mom never told me that. My doctor never told me that. My girlfriend had to tell me to get that book because the same thing happened for her. Someone had led her to it. She got the information she needed and it changed everything.
Bianca shares the what if. The what if she had this information when she was younger. It wasn't her mother, her doctor, but it was her girlfriend who gave her the information about her body and fertility.
If I had had this information when I was younger, one, there would have been many less anxious days about, oh my God, am I pregnant? Or, you know, should I be having sex right now? Or should I be waiting because there's a possibility or I'm in my fertile window where if I have unprotected sex, there is a very good chance that I could get pregnant right then. It's information. And for some reason, it's so taboo, like even to talk about it with your mother. Nobody wants to talk about it. Once I've read this book, I tell everybody, if you talk to me, if you let me know that you're trying to get pregnant, I will instantly recommend the book to you because there were so many things about my body that I had no idea of. I mean, just no clue. Like, I'm like, why didn't somebody tell me this? But they didn't know. Nobody told them.
Today, you're going to hear women share their innocence. So this is what it boils down to. Not knowing how this whole biological clock thing works or what it is, or just being iffy on the whole fertility process. Number two, we are super emotional beings. We share our emotions associated with the whole biological clock experience and the lessons learned that modern medicine doesn't tell you. Our medical expert on this topic is Nora Bolger, who's an RN from the Reproductive Medicine Associates of Connecticut. And she's going to walk us women in our 20s, 30s, and 40s through some preparedness steps related to your eggs, conceiving, and infertility. Then number four, lastly, throughout the episode, Nora will give some actionable steps for you to consider through your journey. So what is the whole biological clock? Well, according to psychologist Joe Lunkins, the term biological clock is often referred to as an increased maternal instinct of women as they get older. Okay, but hear what? Not everyone's maternal instinct is to have children. Some batteries in the clock are just dead. Some are broke before they're shipped. Others tick-tock and went back to sleep. My story is, okay, let me think back for a sec, because there was a number of cues. And as to be expected, you all know me by now and you have some idea of my upbringing with my mother. But she told me the story without the backstory. So there was this distant relative we call Pumpkin Vine Aunt who was married to our uncle, but she never had any children. And her way of passing the positivity to my mother was when my mother got married to my father, she immediately put the bug in her ear, do not wait to have children. And my mother adhered to her direction. She said like within 3 to 6 months, she was off the pill and boom, I arrived. Also, I remember in college, my girlfriend's mother sat me down and her guidance to me was don't have children too late. And then I kind of like was like, yeah, whatever, whatever. Then she looked me dead straight in the eye and said, seriously, like, don't wait. But again, these are all the typical cryptic messages, cues that you were told. And, you know, now that I'm older, I could connect the dots. But it would have just been easier if they just talked about this biological clock. Self-awareness is a humbling, humbling process. Most of us are totally unaware or even care until it affects our journey. I honestly didn't have any foresight of the biological clock, or let me just put it this way. I underestimated the seriousness of it until I hit 30 years old. Neither did she. Roxanne now is almost 40 years old. She's married, and to date, she has had 2 miscarriages in the last year. and her journey is ongoing. She shares her understanding of the biological clock and not having an action plan.
I would say that I knew about it before, but I don't know that I took it seriously enough to push to do something sooner. So, you know, you always hear about it. You get married. Everyone's like, when are you having kids? When are you having kids? And then, you know, I studied sciences, so I already know that the body no longer performs as it should as you get older, especially over, you know, that 35 age and or 40. But with all that being said, I don't think I created a plan or had an action plan. I said, okay, yeah, I'm getting older, but I'll have kids soon. I'll have kids soon. And I was ready, whereas my husband wasn't. He was more of, oh, we're not ready, we're not financially ready, we're not this, you know, we don't have a house, we don't have this, we don't have that. And that is why we waited so long to begin trying. The difficulty is I didn't put an action plan, or I didn't do a good job at pointing out to him, listen, everything I've read, everything I heard says if you start trying after 35, your chances go down by the month or by the year.
The cues. So on a regular, there's a time period when your relatives ask you, the questions come up, when you're getting married, then you get married, when you're having kids, and when they see no action, it just stops. Bianca's in her 40s, married, and her journey took about 3 to 4 years, but it ended up with both a boy and a girl 3 years apart. She talks about all the societal pressures women like herself have encountered. She highlights how real the struggle is to get pregnant.
Not just family. The pressure for women is so real. It's so hard. After you're a certain age, one, you're supposed to be married. As soon as you get married, everybody is like, okay, when are you guys having kids? And it's just the expectation is that, boom, it just happens. Like, if you want kids, you just get pregnant. Because there's very little discussion and openness about how difficult it is, in fact, for people to get pregnant. And the fact of the matter is, I think it's like 1 in 3 pregnancies result in a miscarriage. It's some insane number that should be so much more visible than it is. Before I was trying to get pregnant, I had no idea how often miscarriage occurs. And it is amazing that we've populated the world the way that we have, with as many miscarriages happen. But the pressure is constant, and it comes from everywhere, from society as a whole, not just from your family. I mean, that's there. But people who don't even know you will just talk to you like, well, when are you guys having kids? You've been married 2 years. What are you waiting for? They're such a blessing. But you don't know what people's struggles are. You don't know if they've had 5 pregnancies and all 5 have resulted in miscarriage, because nobody talks about it. You don't know if there's some sort of problem within them that they can't have kids at all, that they continue to try and it doesn't work. There's unexplained infertility that, even though everything looks like it's supposed to work fine, it just doesn't. And you're just not getting pregnant. You're having sex at the right time, and it's just not happening. You don't know that. And because it's not something that's talked about a lot, there's no understanding from other people, and they feel like they can just go in and pressure you. And just like, it's a subject that, on one hand, should be sort of taboo. Like, you shouldn't talk to people about that. But on the other hand, there should be much more visibility about how real the struggle is and how difficult it is to get pregnant.
Nina's purpose is to empower women to celebrate women's embarrassing moments. If you're too shy, nervous, or embarrassed to ask about sensitive girly stuff, you're in the right place.
I had no explanation in my 20s and 30s until one of my girlfriends, who's a nurse, said, "It's complicated after 35. Don't wait." My other girlfriend started her adoption process in her late 30s, and she knew full and well she didn't see any potential partner on the horizon. I, on the other hand, was holding out, and now my shop is officially closed. The timing of when a woman decides to have children is a debatable topic. More importantly, Nora wants to emphasize to all women that whether you like it or not, you have to be thinking proactively about your biological clock in advance.
That's a very debated area in this field because, you know, when you look around at women in their, you see some incredibly healthy women in their 50s, they might do well in pregnancy, even if they, if they say they had a donor egg embryo, right? I mean, so their ovaries, they have very poor ovarian reserve, but if you could make them an embryo from a donor egg and their partner's sperm, and they're incredibly healthy, who's to say that a 52-year-old can't carry a pregnancy? I'm not arguing for it. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Conversely, you see some very unhealthy 31-year-old chain-smoking women who don't take care of themselves who may also have a very unhealthy pregnancy. So there's no right answer. I think people really hotly debate now the fairness to the children when people are having children much later in life. But I think there are some real benefits to having older parents in terms of where they are in their lives and what they can give to you for the time that they're here. So there is no one answer for that. But I think for young women, you know, in their 20s and 30s who are really focusing on how they're going to proceed, I think you can't keep your eyes off the ball until you're 35 or 38. I think that's the big mistake. I think you have to be thinking about it in advance. It doesn't mean you have to rush into doing it, but you have to really start thinking proactively and talking to your doctor.
Each of these women's ovaries were yelling so loud. No doubt, for some of us, our individual freakout sessions start at different times, some in our 20s, some in our 30s, hell, maybe some even in our early 40s. We all have different triggers and goals. Doctors told both Bianca and Onika it was not going to happen. And if it did, they would have to go the IVF route. So it took a wing and a prayer, but both of them, you know what? They came up on top. Onika is 38. She's married and had a 3-year journey, which finally ended in a baby girl 2 months ago. Bianca's in her 40s. She's married and her journey was about the same, 3 to 4 years, and it ended with both a boy and a girl who are 3 years apart. But the struggle is real, ladies. The bond these women have in common is that they struggled with dealing with the hands that they were dealt. Here's what both Bianca and Onika both understood about their biological clocks before having children.
Well, for me, I obviously heard for my entire life everybody talk about the biological clock. And I honestly felt like it was just something people say. I didn't realize that it was in fact a thing, and it is in fact a thing. Whenever I would go to the gynecologist, I mean, literally every single time, he would be like, look, you're getting older, your biological clock is ticking, when are you going to have some babies? And I would always be like, oh, I want to be married before I have kids and blah, blah, blah. And obviously I got married pretty late. I think I was 34 or 36 when I got married, something like that. And I didn't really listen. It was just something that he was saying, whatever. I wasn't even sure that I wanted to have kids at that point, so it wasn't a big deal to me. But then I remember when I was 25, I had this dream that I went to the doctor and he told me I was pregnant. And I reacted with such joy that I remember waking up and thinking, what the hell? What was that? Because in my mind, I didn't really want kids. But that dream revealed to me that I did, in fact, actually want to have kids. So he would just keep on, you know, every single time I went, you need to think about this. You need to get on this because your biological clock is ticking.
It was a similar case for me. My OBGYN would ask me on every annual visit, so Nina, what are we doing? Are we having a baby? And you know, that answer would change depending on who I was dating at the time or just my mood. And then she just stopped asking. If you're hitting your mid-30s, Nora advocates having the discussion with your doctor.
I think it's a good thing to talk with the GYN about too. If it's something a woman is considering, if she doesn't see marriage around the corner and she's hitting that 32 to 34-year-old age bracket, I think it's a great idea to at least have the discussion.
The takeaway is your doctor should be proactive early on in your relationship. But there also is the reality that, you know, some doctors aren't proactive.
I think a lot of doctors will say, oh, you'll be fine, you'll be fine. And they kind of say that for a little bit too long in my experience. You know, I've seen a lot of 42-year-old patients who come to me who are now doing donor egg and say, if my doctor hadn't said for so long, oh, you're okay, I might have come here earlier. So I think the general perception that, oh, people can have kids all the way into their late 40s even persists in the medical field because we see people being successful, but people don't really know whether those eggs came from a donor or the person that's carrying the child.
Perfect timing. When the timing is right, the universe will tell you and we'll make it happen. Nora discusses the optimal time to start considering not only just the biological clock process, but that whole preparedness effort in your 20s, 30s, and 40s. There are pros and cons to everything. The trend is women are waiting longer. And if that's your choice, that's fine, but don't downplay the huge possibility of complications or the need of medical intervention. I mean, pop culture gives society a false sense of hope and misleading most women. And here's why Nora agrees with that.
I think that because of the popular media, you know, especially in the last 10 years, we see a lot of women in their 40s having children, many of them in their late 40s, which gives this false sense of security, right? That, oh, you know, I can get my MBA, I can become a lawyer, do all the things I want, then have children later. And unfortunately, you know, evolution hasn't caught up with the way women live our lives now. So the real graph that you look at when you look at fertility really starts to change at 35. You know, we see success rates start to drop off for pregnancy at 35. They really drop precipitously after 38, and then there is a big downward slope at 42. So many women are just starting to think about childbearing at 40, which is problematic, right? Because our stats are already on the decline at that point.
2 years ago, Roxanne's husband kept thinking, we're not ready. And when they were or thought they were as ready as they can ever be.
Yeah, you think it's like family pressure. But then I think, oh, I'm healthy. I'm in good shape. You know, I eat right. I'll have no problem. So it's also thinking that I can get pregnant right away. Don't worry, I'll get pregnant right away. Not realizing that, no, it doesn't necessarily matter how healthy your heart is or how healthy you keep your body like in terms of eating the right foods and stuff like that. Most women can get pregnant as long as they're in some kind of decent condition, right? No major health ailments, most women can get pregnant. But it just doesn't happen just like that. The time for the ovulation, all that's such a narrow window. It's like you got to be on track, on point all the time in order to get that pregnancy.
Nora encourages women to start thinking and planning as early as possible. On the other hand, ladies take note because Nora defines infertility for women under 35 and over 35 years old as well, including next steps.
A lot of patients who seek out treatment early on, it's because they've tried for a year. And, you know, the definition of infertility is attempting pregnancy for 1 year without success. Now, that being said, if you're over 35, we actually want that to be a six-month window. So if you're over 35 and you've been trying to get pregnant for 6 months and you haven't, the best next step is to look for a board-certified reproductive endocrinologist.
Warning, the friggin' truth is what every girl needs to know in her 20s. It's The Real by Nina, a full holy grail rundown of love, sex, dating, and health mantras every woman should live by. Grab your free copy by visiting www.ninababel.com/the friggin' truth. Your eggs aren't getting any younger. Next, you're going to understand why it's all about quality over quantity. The longer you wait, the more your fertility drops. The pressures, the emotional pressures compounded with the trial and the error, or just not knowing what to expect, is a journey on its own. Roxanne realizes it just doesn't happen at 38 years old like she thought. This has been a humbling trial and error experience, and she highlights her daily routine.
We started initially by just having the unprotected sex, and we said, okay, we'll just let it happen, because usually it just happens, right? But I think, you know, now looking back at it, it doesn't just happen at age 38. As I said, the window is so small that it has to be that accurate. And then I think of the fact that, well, maybe we weren't having sex that often to make that window. Because, you know, both of us work out. I work out. He works out. He rides his bike. We both work long jobs during the day or whatever. And you come home, you just want to relax, watch TV. And then sometimes you're too tired. So you, without even realizing it, maybe you're not even increasing your chances by having that much more unprotected sex. So then that was the first few months. And I actually did get pregnant and miscarry not too long after. But then we started trying again, nothing was happening, and so someone told me about the kit. And so it's an ovulation kit, and it tells you when you're ovulating. You pee on the little sticks, and it'll let you know when you're ovulating, and those will be the time to, you know, check. In addition, I was doing the temperature, so I was measuring my temperature, my body's temperature in the mornings, and then I was also looking at my discharge, so discharge showing symptoms of giving you signs of when you might be ovulating. Doing all that, and nothing was happening, which is when we decided to reach out to a fertility doctor. But then during the course of doing all that, what started happening, what I noticed happened, and everybody says, you know, most people say, oh, when you're trying to get pregnant, relax, relax, don't think about it, just let it happen. But what was happening at the same time was now you have to measure your body temperature every day at the same time. So I was then, you know, waking up at 5, and then sometimes I realized I missed it, so then I started setting an alarm. So I'm waking up to this alarm at like 5 o'clock, which is causing my husband to wake up, and then I'm saying, oh, I'm ovulating, we have to have sex. And then it's like, you know, you're having sex, but then it's like, well, we're probably not performing as we should. Things are like, he's feeling pressured, and it's like, well, you have to do it, you have to do it, you have to do it. And it's like, I can't just do it, I feel so forced. So I think that there led to us not getting pregnant. So we went to see this fertility specialist, and, you know, she did a series of testing. And then, you know, she said, okay, well, you know, everything shows you're healthy. Everything shows you're fine. There should be no reason why you don't have a child. Okay, great. So she said, I can put you on hormones, and then, you know, we can see if we can get you pregnant that way. And so I wanted to take that away. I wanted to take that away because the hormones will give you hot flashes, they'll make you ovulate multiple times, and you have to go into the office so many times a week, and all these kind of steps that you have to take for that procedure. So I said, we'll take it away. But luckily enough, this time, I guess our heads were really clear. We weren't even thinking about it, and we got pregnant on our own.
In hindsight, Roxanne explains the daily emotional, self-inflicted pressures to perform, including her husband.
And then, you know, I miscarried this last time, so that's kind of where we ended up. So now it's kind of the weight gain again. So when will it happen? When will we connect? When will we get pregnant again? Or do we make the decision to go with fertility treatment to increase the chances now?
The pressure to perform. Anika wanted bullets, not blanks. She became a drill sergeant waiting for her husband to come home.
The past 3-4 years, I was not relaxed. Anytime that I would open my legs to my husband, my foot would be on the wall. I would be, like, elevated to help the sperm, you know, come down there and hopefully meet the egg. I would massage myself. My husband described it as, like, clocking in for work. Because I did my temperature check, read every damn book, everything, waiting for this man to come home, hunting down his penis, making sure that he could perform and do what he needs to do. You lose the intimacy, you lose the connection. It's just like, let's get it done. Right. Let's get it done at this time, when I'm this temperature, and yep, thank you, and good night. And let's not do it every night, because I don't want you to waste your sperm. I want you to build up that sperm source so you can, like, shoot some, you know, bullets, not blanks, you know.
Yeah.
I was like a drill sergeant.
You
nothing
were.
Worked. Girlfriend, nothing worked. And it, like they say, things happen when they're supposed to happen and when you least expect it. And that's when I met my husband, and I wasn't looking for him at all, like at all. And when we weren't planning for the baby, we were planning to go on vacation and have a good time. It wasn't on my mind for the first time in 3 years. It wasn't on my mind. Honestly, I can say that. I was not thinking about it. We were thinking about getting drunk and hanging out, doing our thing and having a good time. That was it. And when you release and let go and everything is aligned, you know,
right.
God is amazing. You can go and do this thing, and, you know, but we did set intentions at the beginning of the year. We were very intentional about what kind of life we wanted to live in.
Now it's the weight game. When will it happen again? Roxanne talks about the family pressure.
You know, it's also the thing of people always say, when are you having a kid? You got married. When are you having a child? And it's more of, oh, stop talking to me. And you brush it off. And that brushing off doesn't help, too. It's almost like I had to think, oh, wait, I did get married in my 30s. I really should think about it. But it was more like, stop bothering me. We just got married. We're just trying to enjoy things.
Right.
Not seeing that there is a key sign. That there is like a big hint.
Anika measured her chances of getting pregnant down to a science. She was able to look at the calendar to determine what is the right window to have that timed intercourse with her husband.
My friend was like, are you doing timed intercourse? I'm like, I really don't know how to do that.
Is it on the 14th day? Like, it's...
Yeah, it depends on, like, if your cycle is a 28 day or 32. I was like, I don't really know. She was like, okay, well, just to be on the safe side, do it on the 12th day, the 14th, the 16th, and the 18th, just right. To cover all your bases.
So we learned the whole biological clock thing a little better. Tune in on Thursday for part 2 of this series. You're going to hear more realities from the medical side and from the Girly Nation side. As you heard so far, we all know what the biological clock is. But there are circumstances we just can't control, and you have to end up managing and dealing with the hand that you've been dealt with. By telling these stories, I hope I've inspired you to keep this as a blip on your radar, especially as you age. If you're older than 35 years old, what it means is you just have to be more open-minded and consider all your options. And that wraps up part 1 of this part 2 series. Thanks to Nora Bolger from the Reproductive Medicine Associates of Connecticut for participating on today's episode. Their contact information, along with the resources Nora mentioned, will be available online and posted in the show notes. Myself and Girly Nation reveal all our tell-all experiences, right? The aha moments, advice, and lastly, mother-frigging girlfriend knowledge. Like any other week, I'm here to empower you and give you that weekly dose of self-confidence and, more importantly, realize your worth in your lifetime. Before you go, please give me some love, Girly Nation. If you like this episode, kindly leave me a rating review in iTunes or Stitcher. Girly Nation, this is what helps me stand out from the crowd. You can connect with me on social media because I love Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can use the handle at Nina Babel, or you could just head over to my website and subscribe to make sure you're in the know with all my latest and greatest. But new episodes of the Keep It 100 Girl Show drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Was this episode good for you? Don't forget to share the show with your girlies. And then furthermore, email me a question or personal story to ask@ninababel.com. You could check out my vids on YouTube by typing in the search field, Nina Babel. But tune in on Thursday when I drop part 2 of this series. Thanks, girl. Smooches.